Amen. It's always good to be able to give. Amen. This morning I've entitled my message, The Words Heart Connection. That's one of the things I always missed about, you know, being able to bring the tithe to the church. So if we get signed up, we can do it now again. This morning I've entitled my message, The Words Heart Connection. Somehow, or something that I find myself doing quite regularly, is encouraging people to watch what's coming out of their mouths. And probably for all sorts of different ways than a lot of people think of when you say, watch what you say. I have talked at different times about guarding our hearts and about making sure that we are focused on the right things. But we often don't realize that there is probably no better way to gauge the condition of our heart than by listening to ourselves. Listen to what we're saying. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The King James Version says that out of our heart comes the issues of life. It says, watch your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart come the issues of life. When we don't watch our words, we're going to find ourselves saying things that are not thoughtful. We're going to find ourselves saying things that are not kind. Or simply put, just aren't even wise. We'll find ourselves talking foolishness. When we don't keep track of our words, we can very easily slip into the negativity and the curses with which we are bombarded with regularly. We allow our hearts to be filled with the garbage and the gossip that we're living in instead of filled with the Word of God. Except when we allow our hearts to be filled with that, we find ourselves speaking the very same thing that we have been filling ourselves with. So I'm not talking about using the name of the Lord in vain. I'm talking about tearing down instead of building up. There's an old piece of wisdom that states that you should make sure your brain is engaged before you put your mouth in gear. Wise words. I used to have a plaque hanging on my wall, and it said, Lord, make my words today tender and sweet, because I never know which ones tomorrow I may have to eat. Good advice. Now, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death, and James chapter 3 talks about how the tongue is a rudder, which has the power to turn our whole life around to either the good side or the bad side. It also says that our tongue is like a fire that is small, but it kindles this huge matter, can do insurmountable damage. Luke 6:45 tells us that it's that out of what has been stored in our hearts is what the mouth is going to speak about. So what are we storing in our hearts? See, if God has had to put this many warnings in the Bible concerning the things that we talk about, concerning the destructive power of the tongue, I'm thinking that this has to be a major problem in many lives. If it wasn't a problem, God wouldn't have had to talk about it that much. Could have said it once and said, there, okay. I'm thinking it's got to be a major problem in the lives of many Christians if God has to put it in His Word so often. Because really, the Bible is written for Christians. When you read the epistles, they always start off saying, to the saints, which are. Or when the saints get together. So if there's this much instruction to the saints, then I'm thinking that the Christians have a problem with letting their mouths run wild. Hello. Well, the good news about our words is that our mouth is one of the greatest indicators of the condition of our heart. What is your coming out of your heart? Our words will reveal whether our hearts are full of God's love and joy and peace, or whether they're full of anger and bitterness. Why? What is he talking about? Are you taking joy in somebody that's having a rough time? You know, sometimes people hear about somebody having a rough time, and they're going, well, that's good, they deserved it. And you go, come on, where's mercy and grace? Where's the saying, that's too bad? Years ago, I was hearing a minister, and we just heard another person mentioned about a different minister that was running into problems, and this friend of mine just looks, and he says, that gives me no joy. And I thought, well, that's a good attitude. That gives me no joy. It doesn't please me to hear when somebody else is doing bad. I would rather hear everybody else doing good. I ran a shop for years, and people would talk about how the other shop was, they're not so very busy, they're not that. I said, man, that's too bad. There's lots of customers in the area. I don't like to hear what anybody do, man. I prefer to hear them all being blessed. And I would like to hear saying, you know, man, they've just had the best year yet. And I'm going, yes, hallelujah. Why? Because if they're having such a great year, I want to learn from them. I want to find out what they're doing. Our words will tell us what we've been filling ourselves with. When we spend our time listening to how bad everything is, we will become discouraged and negative and complaining and whining. When we fill ourselves with the promises of God, we portray His mercy and His grace in our words. And if we are willing to pay some attention to our hearts, we can start controlling our wild and willful tongues and set a course for our life that we're going to be able to enjoy. All of a sudden, we won't be calling every calamity and the books down on ourselves. We won't be sitting there talking about how bad everything is and how bad everybody else is. We're going to start talking about how great our God is. You know, I read a news report this last week, and not that I spend a lot of time reading news reports, but I'm glad I read this one. Sharon Osbourne, wise woman in some ways. She's on the talk show, as most of us know. She had a talk show. And the question was brought up about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And she made the comment, she says, that is the epitome of white privilege. Sitting on a platform, boo-hooing because father cut the purse strings. She says, what is wrong with him? He is young, he is healthy, he is well-educated, he has had all the best in life. And I thought, wow, no wonder she got kicked off of a talk show. That's the type of common sense that should be prevailing in the world today. What's wrong? You have full use of all of your limbs. You have a great mind. You can think. What is wrong with you? But when people have gotten into the victim mentality, it doesn't matter if they were born into one of the most richest families in the world, they are still feeling sorry for themselves because it didn't end up the way they wanted it to. And what we need to do is recognize that it is time to say, hey, I have it good. When we sang that song today about God, you've always been so good, so good. That's really what it is. God, you are always, my whole life, you have been good to me. Even when I didn't recognize what was going on, you were being good to me. Even before I knew you, you were good to me. But you've always been good to me, God. You're the one thing that I was able to count on. In spite of everything else, Father, you've been there. But when we hear tongues run away with, or when our tongues start running away with us, it's like a large flashing sign with emergency beacons standing all around them, pointing to the place in our heart that needs work. The words of our mouth will reveal the condition of our heart. So if we watch what we are putting into our hearts, then our mouth isn't going to be the problem anymore. So this morning, I want to look at a few of the things that we can do to make sure our hearts and our tongues are in the proper places. The first one is, don't gossip about people. Restore broken relationships. To start with, we live in a time where nothing seems to be sacred anymore. People have no idea of the responsibility of running anything, and yet all of a sudden they have become the armchair experts busy saying how they know the world should run. It's sort of like people that have never had children are the best at raising kids. They've got the answers. They know how it should be done. They know exactly what's wrong with everybody else. And then they have a child. And their baby monitor. Because they can see with our heartstrings. And then they have the baby monitor. They go, Todd speaking. People that can't even run their own homes know how the government should run. People that can't even manage their own finances knows what the government is doing wrong. Oh, that got quiet. See, it is easy to criticize our governmental leaders because sometimes they really seem to put targets on their back. It's easy to criticize our church leaders, our bosses, and anyone else without taking the time to look at what they've been facing. You know, I look at our premier, and do I agree with everything? I don't agree with everything he's doing. But I cannot imagine being in his shoes right now, because no matter what he does, it's wrong. Half the nation, then our nation is divided. Half the nation would be against him. Half the province would be condemning him one way or the other. So he has to go by the information that he receives. Christians have developed full-blown potty mouth when it comes to talking about the leaders. In any part of life. The same people that refuse to get involved in any form of leadership or helping are the people that won't even take the time to vote on issues, will spout out their ignorance, showing how uninformed they really are, but manage to gather their crowd of yippers together so that they feel empowered. See, our Bible tells us to pray for those in authority. Now, I did some searching on this as I was getting this message ready. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude have some fairly strong language about people who indulge in speaking against leaders and governments. These authors use words like brute beasts, false teachers, bold and arrogant, and animals. Those are the words the Bible uses when you start talking about your government. Those are the words the Bible uses about you when you start talking against leaders. Read it for yourself. I know it's an eye-opener. There's lots more in there. Well, it goes on and on and on. I believe as a Christian church, or as Christians, we need to get back and say, bless those. Do good to those that hurt you. Bless those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. The next thing is when someone sins against you, how do we handle it? Too many Christians run around telling everybody they meet, hoping that they're going to get people on their side to make them feel like they're right, getting their little yippers together. If you don't know what the word yipper is, the word yipper is the term that I use for all of the little people that gather around going, yip, 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 and try to encourage you in your sin instead of stop you. Interestingly, when the angel of the Lord met Joshua, he told Joshua that he was not on his side. Then he says, I'm not on the enemy's side either. I'm on the Lord's side. And that really is where we as Christians ought to be. We're not on this side or that side. We are on God's side. And what is God wanting to do in the situation that Canada finds itself in right now? God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring restoration. God wants to bring a nation that will get on their knees before him and cry out to him for healing of this land. God wants to have a people that will turn from their wicked ways, that will cry unto God and say, Father, have mercy upon our nation. This nation has not yet fulfilled its destiny. The destiny of Canada is to be healing into all nations, and we can't even heal the rifts in our own nation. It's the church that's going to make the difference. But that's why we need to be praying for the government, using and exercising our rights to vote, using and exercising our right to do their little surveys that they take, and saying, this is what we, the church, want to see. And when our voice will get loud enough or big enough, they will be paying attention and saying, yes, these are people that are united and they have the same opinions. But it won't happen when we're busy fighting with each other and everybody else. We ought to also be on God's side, doing things according to God's plan, according to God's word. So if someone sins against you, don't run around telling a bunch of people. It may feel like a good idea in the moment, but it never is. Right. The thing about gossip is you can never get it back. Right. God's way is to go to the individual and then work on the issue together. Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say? If your brother sins against you, you go to your brother. You talk to them. Doesn't say you've got to run around telling anybody else your little side. When someone comes to me to talk about a problem they have with me or something I've done, I'm relieved. I don't always like it, but I'm relieved that they've come to me. It's not all easy to hear, but when they come talk to me, it shows that they value the relationship with me enough so that we can be able to sit down and try to work stuff out. See, too many people, oh no, we're not talking about it anymore. Boom, gone. They don't want to heal anything. They don't want to work together. They don't want to see God restored. They want to run their own little kingdom because they're selfish. It's unscriptural. Now, if they tell me that they haven't talked to anybody else about it, then I know that once we get things worked out, there's not going to be a whole pile of residential misunderstandings running around out there. Everybody that they've talked to is not now going to be suspicious. Say, oh, well, you know, they said they had done this and this and maybe that or whatever. And all of a sudden, healing can start flowing. Others aren't able to take offense because they haven't been aware that there's a problem. They can't choose sides. When you have an issue with someone in authority, pray for them. God may open a door for you to talk to them. If you have an issue with anyone, don't talk about them, but talk to them and work at trying to repair the relationship and say, okay, what's going on here? Trying to destroy others shows a serious heart issue. It actually shows a spirit that works against Jesus. Jesus was not blessed when his disciples wanted to destroy Jerusalem by calling fire down on it. In fact, he told them they didn't even know which spirit they had in them. Yep. Number two, don't tear people down, but build them up in the Lord. In other words, don't curse others, but bless them. Have you ever had a time when you were talking to somebody about somebody, usually, and started to feel bad about what you were saying? Almost sick to your stomach? That time where you felt you had to stop and say, well, I don't know if I should say this, but move the but. Stop right before the but. That feeling, that guilt, that conviction, that sick to your stomach feeling is the grief of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32 tells us about how we shouldn't let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. Now, unwholesome is anything that doesn't build others up. Now, again, I want to correct here because sometimes people go this, they think, well, we have to be, and I see this so much in child rearing these days. Now, yes, we have had children. We have had grandchildren. We have great-grandchildren, so I am sort of maybe a little bit able to speak about these things. But there's parents right now that would never tell their child anything was wrong. Mm-hmm. You're great. You're wonderful. You got this. You're all that. You're more. If there's truth in it, that's great. If there's not, then you're lying to your child and they will recognize that you're lying to them. You need to be truthful. Now, you may say, you know, this needs to be fixed, but I'm glad that you have the ability and the heart and the desire to grow and to mature and to become a better person. I've worked with people my whole life pretty well, more of my life than I didn't. And, you know, I've actually been able to have great relationships over the years, whether it was in work or different places. And even though we were boss, and even though I sometimes had to correct them and say, you know, this isn't appropriate, this isn't right, it never had to destroy a relationship. Because they recognize it in themselves when it's given in the spirit of love. So you can walk up to somebody and say, oh, you're a total loss. Loser. I don't even know why people waste time on you. A waste of skin, a waste of breath. You're not going to get anywhere. But you can walk up to people and say, you know, I want a relationship. I appreciate the relationship with you. But there's something that needs to be fixed here. And then work on it together. If you find yourself tearing someone down with your words, then bring your heart to God and ask Him what is wrong with you. What is your sin pointing to? We only tear others down when something in our hearts is off. But we can bring that wound to God and we can let God heal it. You know, they say hurting people hurt people. Or hurt people hurt people. You've probably all heard that. So what is there in my heart that causes me to want to hurt people? Number three, don't lie or exaggerate. Be a stickler for the truth. The thing about lying is it's very easy to start and it's very hard to stop. You know, Shakespeare in his wisdom wrote, he says, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Lying will often begin small, but it grows faster than we ever think it will. And if we are not careful, we will get so used to lying to others and exaggerating or manipulating the truth that we lose track of what the truth really is. And then all of a sudden you start talking. We had this not long ago. We said, you know, this just isn't what was said. And all of a sudden the story got changed because it was this and this and this. We said, no, that wasn't what was said. Well, it was like this. No. And I believe they honestly didn't know what the truth was anymore. They were so used to lying to themselves. They were so used to lying to others. And I ended up speaking to another person that was very close to that particular person, the father. And the father says, I think the problem is they've spread so many lies, they can't even keep them safe anymore. Can't even keep them straight anymore in their own minds. Ouch. What a word that must be for a father to have to speak something like that about his own children. I think they're so used to lying, they don't even know what the truth is. But that's where it ends up. See, we used to use the term in church, evangelistically speaking. Now, sadly, you are never furthering the cause of Christ by exaggerating or lying, even about what he has done. It used to be, well, we had the greatest story, we had the moose thing, we had this, we had that, we had to look successful. So, like, we had almost 100 people in church. No, you had 50. Well, yeah, but that's halfway to 100. That's, we were halfway there to 100. And yet, for whatever reason, oh, we held this crusade and like 10,000 people showed up. Only when you kept replaying the film. Like you get to recognize the same lady's hat walking in by the fourth or sixth time. We don't need to exaggerate. We don't need to exaggerate the work of the Lord to make God more palatable to people. What we have to do is stick with the truth because we are bearers of truth. And the minute we get off truth, we've just lost the spirit of truth. Yes. Now, I believe a lot of times these things are done with the best intention, but it is a lie. And we know who the father of lies is. Oh, see, when Jesus spoke, he says, you of your father, the devil. The truth is not in him. Is this a heart issue? It's a serious heart issue. And if it's not corrected, you're going to find yourself in a place you don't want to be. I believe one of the things that happens is people get fractured mentalities after that, and they start having 16 different things, and they don't know which one is true anymore. Because they're so used to trying to be this or that for the next, because they haven't stood up for the truth. See, Jesus does not need Satan to make him appear better. And lying, just like every other sin of the tongue, shows a brokenness and a perversion in the hearts. Mm-hmm. It's a serious character flaw that shows that we are willing to do what we have to do to get our way. It shows that we're afraid to trust God with the truth. It shows that our fear is greater than our fear of God. It shows that we are filled with stubbornness and pride. Otherwise, we would have obeyed the Lord. Now, just like all the sins of the tongue, lying is a heart issue, and it's one that needs to be stopped in its tracks before it grows. One of the worst things parents can do is encourage their kids to lie. We had a granddaughter that used to tell stories. And we had to explain to her, and her parents, thankfully, were on the same book. No, that's not how it was. Now, she came to a point where she realized that she was telling stories, but then she let you know, no, that's not how it really was. Good. You know, we can all tell stories. We can all have a good time, but you have to be able to say, this is the truth. And number four, don't promote yourself. Rest in the fact that you are a child of God. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now James 3:14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. So God is pretty clear in his instructions for us not to promote ourselves. But it's not just that he doesn't want us to boast, it's because the heart issues that boasting points to. If we are bragging about ourselves or trying to lift ourselves up, it shows that we don't know our value in the Lord. Why? Because God said, in due season, He will lift you up. It shows that God the Father isn't enough for us, that we need others to see and affirm us and tell us how wonderful we're doing. It means that we didn't believe that we were good enough or righteous enough for God to promote us, so we decided to do it ourselves. It means that we are so focused on getting our emotional needs met that we don't wait for God. We'll do it ourselves. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we aren't keeping tabs on what's in our hearts, then our mouth can do a whole lot of damage in a very short while. The good news is that God is here to help us. He is the God of redemption, the God of healing, and the God of sanctification. As we submit our lives to Him, we can rest assured that He will continue healing, redeeming, and sanctifying our hearts, and as a result, our tongues. Now, this may be a message that sounds a little hard, and yet I think it's something we really should be facing and say, hey, what's me? Now, this is not a message that should let me go run to my neighbor and say, oh, man, you know, Pastor had this message, and you know what's wrong with you? Because you're already on the wrong page. What you should be able to do is say, man, you know, I find myself doing this. I find myself. Now, as parents, of course, the best thing we can do is if we see these things developing in our children is to train them. Say, you know, that's not necessary. You don't need to promote yourself. You don't need to lie. You don't need to exaggerate. You don't need to talk about the other kids and gossip. Let's pray for them. And I'll tell you, as a parent, if your kids come home with all sorts of stories about all the other kids and you start praying with them, it's going to make a big difference in their life very quickly. Let's just lift them up to Jesus right now and ask Jesus to help them to be better. Oh, that sort of takes the wind out of the sails. One of the best things that happened to me shortly after I became a Christian, I had a lady from the church, and we were both working with her at the time, and so we got talking, and we started talking about something. She, you know, she says, we prayed, and she says, you know, she says, it's just like I saw two garbage cans. And she was putting garbage from one can into the next. Guess what we prayed after that? Father, forgive us. We don't want to be garbage cans. We don't want to be spreading garbage and gossip. And we want truth. My encouragement this morning, as we leave this place, search out. Say, Father, is my words revealing these things in me? See, there's the test, is your words. Not what everybody else is saying. What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you seeing? And then say, Father, help me. I catch myself, Father. I catch myself not always sticking to the truth fully. Help me. I catch myself, Father, wanting to gossip about people. And I know that the lowest level of intelligence talks about people, and I don't want to be in the low levels of intelligence. So I'm going to promote myself and start talking about things. Now I get to be in the middle. And then I go, well, Father, you know, I actually don't want to just talk about things. I want to talk about ideas and concepts. And now you're reaching for the higher levels. But, you know, I believe God has that for every one of us. That's God's plan. He said, I know the plans I have for you. God didn't plan for you to live in the bottom. He wanted you to be able to be on top. Deuteronomy 28 tells you to be above only and not beneath. As we hear these different things going on and as we see a world that seems to be determined to run away from common sense, let them go. Let's show them by example that there is a better way. So, Father, we want to thank you this morning for your word, and even though it may prick our hearts occasionally, we appreciate the love that you have, Father. We know that as a father that you love your children, so you correct them. We ask for your correction, Father. We ask that you would help us to be able to correct ourselves even in places. That your word would be fulfilled and that your power would be able to flow through your church in a new way. We thank you, Father, for you are good. You have always been good. So I pray this morning, Father, that as we leave, that your Holy Spirit would continue to bring these truths to us. Help us to move upon them, to live with them, to implement them, incorporate them into our hearts, into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.